Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hi, guys. It's America. Thanks for listening back to In the Open. I have a special guest with me today. So say hi.
Hi, everyone. I'm Emily. I work at Mental Health America with America in our peer advocacy supports and services department.
But beyond that, beyond what you do here at MHA, tell us a little bit about yourself.
In relation to mental health, I live with depression and anxiety. But beyond that, I grew up in New England. I now live in DC. I love the beach, anything involving the ocean. I'm trying to make myself learn how to run, but I'm not very good at it. We'll see.
Hey, man, baby steps.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So today we are going to be chatting with Emily because her experience and what she shared with us was that at one point in her life, she didn't want to go to therapy. So that's what we're going to kind of explore in this podcast. Why didn't you want to go to therapy? Kind of go through the timeline with us. And then moving forward, what has led you to feel comfortable in actually going to therapy and continuing to have that as a resource for yourself?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that experience from, because I think you mentioned in our own conversations that it kind of started when you were younger.
Yeah. So I'm 24 now, and I would say my anxiety started when I was around 7 or 8. And it started off, I had no idea it was anxiety. No one knew it was anxiety. And it started off with me missing like 30 days of school a year because of really bad stomach aches. And I went through every medical test you can imagine trying to figure out what it was. And they just came up with, it's going to be anxiety. And I really didn't like that answer, especially as a little kid. I didn't really understand what it was. I was feeling physical pain. So I was like, there has to be something physically wrong with me.
So like your tummy hurt?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like all the time?
A lot of the time, yeah. Okay. I mean, every day. And it was bad, like screaming, crying, doubled over in pain.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you're like 7 or 8 when this is happening.
Yeah.
Okay. So you go through a bunch of tests. Nobody can figure anything out. How did people get to this idea like, let's think about this in another way?
So I was actually talking to my mom about this recently, and I guess she's the one who brought it up. And doctors were like, oh, I guess that could be it. Which I didn't realize. I thought it came from some doctor somewhere.
Some medical professional.
But my mom is an elementary school teacher. So she was around a lot of kids. And I think she had seen kids dealing with anxiety in her own classes.
Okay.
And that's how she kind of realized it was a thing for kids and can be a thing for kids. And so once she brought that up, doctors were kind of like, sure, you can run with that. Go to therapy. Check that out.
Did the doctors and I guess also your mom at that time explain to you? Like, do you remember them telling you what it was?
Not really. No, I remember the term anxiety, but I also couldn't really identify any triggers for myself at that point.
Okay.
I was a very shy kid. So I was really afraid of new situations, of new people, but you're almost always in new situations. Like even just like walking into a new house, okay, like a friend's house that I hadn't been to yet, or walking into a new classroom at school, or walking in and seeing a substitute teacher. So because it was so common for me, I wasn't really able to understand or identify what was making me anxious.
Anxious. What I find interesting in what you're sharing is that, you know, when we're kids, and now even when we're adults, to be able to hone in on the feelings that you have. And like the word anxiety, right? What that means is so many things for different people.
Right.
But when you're a child, if you've never even heard the word anxiety, you're just like, I'm just nervous.
Right.
Or I'm shy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you chalk it up to these things that you hear from others. Because I envision you in my mind, like as this little girl that just, you know, when you were confronted with these new situations, you kind of like would hide behind like your mom's legs.
Be like, literally, yes, exactly.
I don't know how to feel about this. And that's what you see, right? Because I've worked with children and stuff like that. You see that kids physically protect themselves with something, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's like your parents' legs, a table because mm-hmm. it creates distance. So when you're going through this process and finally there's like an answer, it's anxiety. What happens next? Like they say you should go to therapy. Did you go to therapy?
So I went to someone for like one session and I was a stubborn kid. And
a shy and stubborn.
Yeah. Weird combination. But I was so mad that they weren't giving me this like specific medical diagnosis that I wouldn't accept it, that it was anxiety. So I would just walk in and be like, no, I'm fine. I don't know what anyone's talking about. And just like completely lie through my teeth and would walk out. The therapist would be like, your kid's fine, to my mom. My mom would be like, oh, again. And yeah. So we went through this like two or three times before I ended up seeing an art therapist. And I think I was maybe 9 when I started with her.
Okay.
And saw her for a year or so. I was going because I was like, I get to do crafts once a week.
Okay.
Looking back, like, we were building like self-care books together and like little scrapbooks with ideas of what to do, or oh, wow. finding music and burning CDs with soothing music on them.
But you didn't know that fact, right?
Exactly.
You were just enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. So when you think back on that time frame and you're doing these very kind of hands-on activities, right? Do you remember having conversations with your therapist and being open to just sharing your feelings more than in the other kind of therapy sessions?
Not really, okay. but I would take stuff away from that.
Okay.
As I got older, once I hit like 5th or 6th grade, I became super self-aware, but I didn't want to open up to anyone.
Okay.
So even in those sessions, like I wouldn't really tell her how I was feeling. We wouldn't really go over that,
yeah.
but I was getting skills out of it that I would use at home later.
So you go through this process. At first, it's what? Is it scary? Is it, you kind of say you're frustrated because they won't give you like an answer, but mm-hmm. were the people that you were working with not able to maybe ask you the right questions? Did you ever think about that?
I have. Yeah, I think part of it was not asking the right questions, not phrasing things the right way, so that when I'd kind of put a wall up, they could have gone deeper. They could have, you know, rephrased instead of just being like, okay, she says no, like that's yeah. it, I guess. I remember feeling very frustrated because I felt like no one trusted me as a kid, like mm-hmm. trusted my own experiences.
Okay.
And it would always kind of be like, look to mom and see what mom says.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because even now, like as adults, I think we as people tend to do that, right? Where you may be sharing something and then I'm already jumping to the idea of like, oh, well, that's happened to me
mm-hmm.
and not allowing you as the person who's living through that to be able to communicate it and know whatever you're dealing with is your experience.
Right.
And I think as a mental health professional, you have to be very cautious about creating like the space for that to happen.
Yeah. And I've struggled with that a lot, even as a young adult. Like I had a psychiatrist in college who, you know, I'd been on the same medication for a while and I started feeling a lot more depressed. And I had said to her like, hey, like I'm not going to classes. Like I haven't been to class in a week. I'm just in bed all the time. And she was like, oh, it's senioritis. It's fine.
Mm.
And I was like, I really don't think so. And every single appointment would be like, oh, we'll just increase your dose 10 milligrams. And I kept saying, like, I don't think this is the right medication for me. This isn't working for me.
Wow.
And it was just like, no, 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 we'll just increase it. That's just normal.
Minimizing.
Yeah.
When you go through all this, you find that art therapy is really useful, mm-hmm. right? Do you go back to your mom and are you like, this is the greatest thing ever, mom. Thanks for doing this for me, you know?
Nope.
So what was that experience like with your mom?
You know, on my end, it was the only thing I was tolerant of. So I think she was just relieved that I was doing something and that like we as a family were doing something, because it obviously caused a lot of distress with my parents too. Like seeing your kid like this, I remember so specifically driving to therapy one time with my mom, being in the front seat right next to her and like completely doubled over, curled up in pain, like screaming in pain.
Yeah.
And I remember getting there and her being like, I need to go in first. And she walked in with my therapist and I stayed in the waiting room with my brother. Okay. And they were in there for, you know, like just 5 minutes or whatever. But I remember that happening and my mom being like, I need to talk to her and like tell her what I'm seeing. Cause I was presenting totally differently to the world versus to myself and to my family.
And so like after those 5 minutes, were you like completely like, okay, I'm fine.
Yeah. And I was in the waiting room. I was like, all right, I'm good. And I walked in and I remember the therapist being like, so your mom told me what happened. I was like, yeah, I don't know. Weird. I'm good now though. Wow. And she was like, okay.
Right. Because you're not giving her anything to work with.
Right.
Because she can't like cut you up and be like, let me know what's happening inside.
Right. Exactly.
Wow. So, you know, when I think about my experience, and it's hard for me to like talk about my feelings. It's very hard for me to like actually literally like find the right words to say, I feel X, right?
Right.
And then when you're growing up and you're like now, because you're an adult and you've been going to therapy, right? After so long that you, what made you change from you deciding, I really don't think this has value, because that's what I hear you're saying, to a place of saying, let me try it.
So earlier on in college, my sophomore year, I had a friend who was super open about her mental health struggles and would ask, like, you know, she was my roommate, can I have the apartment? I need to Skype with my therapist. I need to go to CVS to pick up meds. Do you want to come? So it was just so normalized. And she was someone who presented as so bubbly, so much fun. Everyone wanted to be her best friend. And I was like, wow, if someone like her can feel like this, then it's okay if I do too.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be my entire identity. So that was what got me to go to therapy long-term for, I guess, the second time after that art therapy in fifth grade. And so that was someone that I started seeing out of like desperation, really. I was at a really rough point and it was okay. I was able to open up more because I knew I needed to. Like at that point, it was kind of life or death to me.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the right fit. I don't think it was till I found the right fit after that therapist that I realized how valuable therapy can be. Because through seeing that second person who was very quiet in our sessions and kind of just let me fill the space with what I had to say, I'm not good at that. I'm not good at just sitting there and like telling you about how I feel. I needed more structure. And to me, therapy in my head, what I had seen in movies and in TV was always like, so how are you feeling? And then you just talk for an hour.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. That's terrifying.
Yeah, it's not really a conversation.
Right.
Like, you know, when you're in this place of struggle, you're like, you say it was really like a life or death situation where you know, like something isn't right. So, you know, and you go to this one therapist. So, and I'm assuming it was through school.
Yeah.
What didn't work with that therapist? Was she too talkative about other things? Is she the one that was minimizing your experience?
I wouldn't say she was minimizing it. She didn't add anything. There was no conversation. It was completely just, you know, she would literally open it up with the question, tell me about how you're feeling.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't want to do that. I need more structure.
Yeah. You needed some more guiding questions.
Yeah.
Because it's hard for, when you are in the space of not being able to talk about your feelings openly, and then somebody pointedly is like, tell me about your feelings. You're like,
right.
I don't know how to tell you.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to tell myself what I'm feeling.
Right. And I was so, so afraid of being vulnerable in front of people that I just, like, I wanted to open up, but I couldn't. I could not get myself to say things. And I'd walk out being like, I wish I had brought that up, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't make myself say it.
I think a lot of people, though, struggle with this idea of, you know, what you see in movies is that you do go into this room and you're just supposed to sit there and just completely, like, unearth all this stuff that's happened without realizing that it really takes time, right? And it's a process to get to a place to, one, trust the person that you're working with.
Right.
And allowing yourself to be vulnerable and knowing that that person, if they're really good at what they're doing, is going to be able to capture your vulnerability and create a safe space, but also say what else is happening. So they push you to realize the issues that may be occurring.
Right. Exactly.
Like, I remember going to therapy, and I've never been one to be like, no, I don't ever want to go. I've always been like, hey, dude, let's try it. You know, because I've always thought that talking to somebody outside of your circle is really important, because we do so much self-talk. And when we bounce our ideas off people that know us, there is that idea of like judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to show myself as who I am, especially if I think like I'm like the worst person ever.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the therapist that ended up really helping you, what was it about that person that ultimately said, dude, this is something that I think totally has value?
So I started off with her on our like phone intake. I said, like, I hate therapy. Like, I don't want to do this, but I know I need to. And she laughed and was like, I appreciate your honesty. And I think it really caught her off guard. But I am so glad that I said that. Because A, it's easier to say that over the phone than face to face, being like, I don't really want to talk to you. But then going in, she knew that I had those walls up, and she knew it was going to be a slower process, and she couldn't just say, so tell me what's up, and I would just unload everything.
Right.
She knew that, you know, there needed to be more structure. She needed to help guide me. And that's why I feel like the relationship with your therapist is so, so important. I needed to find the right therapist for me.
It sounds like, you know, when you think about the way that people are listening to us, right, and will listen to us, there are a couple of things that really resonate. One is that, you know, you could be very ambivalent about going to therapy because you may not necessarily know what it's like, and you've only seen what you've seen or what others may have told you.
Right.
And two, this idea that you have to find the right fit, right? It's really much like dating where...
Yeah.
You have to, one, in some way like the person enough to be able to sit in a room with them, right? Because if you don't connect in any way, then the way that they can respond to you, it's not going to be genuine.
Right.
Right.
And that's hard, especially if you're starting out in a place where you're not doing all that well.
Yeah.
It can be so defeating to, you know, go to an appointment and be like, I don't know, we didn't really connect. Let me go search for more therapists, call around, make an appointment, get in there. It's a lot. It's a lot of work, and it's tough and it's draining, but it was for me so, so worth it.
So what would you say to somebody that is really in a place of kind of just saying, no, I don't want to try this. I don't think it has value. What would you say?
I mean, everyone is different, and you can find someone that provides a certain value to you. I feel like a good way to look at therapists is, like you were saying earlier, they're removed from your life. There's no judgment there. All they care about is helping you to feel better. Like, that's it. That's their only goal.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's at least always worth a shot to involve someone like that in your life.
So keep trying until you find the right fit.
Yeah. And it is hard. It's really hard, especially because, you know, like I said, not everyone's going to be the right fit for you.
Yeah.
And I'm most people that I know that are in therapy have had to go through a few therapists before they find someone they really connect with.
Yeah. You know, it also makes me think of this idea of the need to ensure that when you are seeking a therapist, you think through what you want out of that process, right?
Right.
Even if it may be a little bit unfamiliar to you, is it necessary, for example, for you to have somebody that understands, like in my case, that understands Spanish or understands the Latino culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I live a bicultural experience, and maybe my therapist has to understand that to be able to really get into that space.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that somebody that doesn't have that experience can't be open to understanding, but you know, it may depend on how a person feels. And then when you talk about like art therapy, you know, therapy is not just this one-off blanket thing that's supposed to happen in an office space.
Mm-hmm.
There are therapists that will work with you in a range of different places, right? Maybe it's at your church, or maybe it's you and me walking down by the park, because
right.
I don't want to sit in an office with no windows and tell you about my life experience, mm-hmm. right? I want to just be able to be more relaxed. And you have to be able to advocate for yourself to say, like you did, I really don't want to do this.
Yeah.
So that gives some clues to the therapist to be like, okay, let me figure out what can work so that we can make this a really good relationship.
Right.
When I think about all of this, and for folks that are listening, who may be in this place of not really being able to make the next move, mm-hmm. what do you think would be a starting place for them?
I think about, like you were saying, what you want out of therapy. Keep in mind, there are plenty of alternatives to traditional talk therapy. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there. But just things as in, like, some people do just want a space to go in and talk and cry for an hour. So that's what some people need and what some people want. Some people need, you know, a therapist to be giving them book recommendations and worksheets and need concrete skills that they can practice.
Yeah, I like worksheets.
Yeah. So think about how you learn, how your brain processes things, and what you think would be good for you in terms of, you know, you don't have to think about it as this like big, scary, new idea of therapy, but just how can I make myself feel better and how can I let someone else help me with that?
That's very good. You made me feel like doing a worksheet. Very valuable to me. I see, because that's how I process, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the scary part for people and kind of figuring out, what am I supposed to do with this? How is this supposed to look like?
Right.
And the experience of therapy is very much, is supposed to be very much self-directed, mm-hmm. right? Where you identify what you want out of it and the professional is there to help guide you down that path.
Right. And that can be tough to figure out when you're just starting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. This is years of therapy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not just like a one-off thing. But, you know, we hope that you guys have found this information valuable. Thank you, Emily, for sharing your experience with us. It is very important to think about what would work best for you. So, like we always say, keep fighting in the open. And we'll talk to you guys next time.
Bye, guys.